Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 15, Text 3. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tanmajugo Shali Medadvijakulam Mahanmana Prakya Paya Sarasvata Patena Jushtam Shatapatta Gandina Narikshadantum Bhagavan Manodade. The Supreme Personality of Godhead looked over that forest, which resounded with the charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water. Can everyone hear me?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. And which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, Lord Krishna decided to enjoy the auspicious atmosphere. Om Jnana Timurandhasya Jnanam Jana Salakaya Taksur Unmulatam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Vishnam Dapitam Yena Bhutale Shayam Rupa Kadamayam Tadati Sapadantikam Adadana Senandante Idam Yache Puna Puna Shrimad Rupa Padam Boja Yulisham Janma Janmani Vairagya Yudhakti Risam Priyatnai Apayama Manabipsamandham Bumpya Paladuka Dugi Sanatanistam Prabhu Mastriyami Mancha Kalpa Karubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayedacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sri Vasade Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, greetings from Vrindavan. I'm here now, and again, some of you have seen my room. Today, across from me is, maybe you can't hear it now, but there's an enthusiastic all-night kirtan going on for some type of function. This is very much where I live, a sadhu area with many ashrams of sadhus. So it's nice to hear the sound of the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. And also, as you know, I'm giving class every day in my room on the porch on Sri Bhakti Sandarbha. And hopefully some of the realizations that we share can be mixed in with the class. And I, to repeat, I'm just giving a little bit of introduction before I speak. One of the things I would like to do is that in our discussions here in Vrindavan, discussing the Shastra, any nice realizations come out to share them with the audience. And specifically, if I'm able to get the association of any nice devotees, then the jewels of the realizations in their hearts that are shared with me, I'd like to share with others. In fact, I found out today that a very good friend of mine, a very, very deep and elevated soul, a dedicated servant of Prabhupada, Parthasarthi Prabhu, has arrived in Vrindavan, so I'm hoping in the next few days to see him. Another feature that I would like to add, because I don't think the format here lends itself so much to questions. I don't know how that would work, and it's really a limited amount of time. People, I actually have got some questions from the previous class, even though it's Wednesday. I'll answer today. The person who asked it said they'd be on today. If they're not, I could repeat it Wednesday. And just some technical points before I begin, and then I'll get into the class. It's nice that people mute their phones, but if you have a quiet environment and you're not breathing or coughing into the phone, and sometimes having a few open lines, if I hear just something, it's okay. It lets me know that there's an audience. This is a new type of communication for me where I can't see or hear the audience. But people wrote me and assured me that they're there and appreciating it. And also, sometimes at the end of the class, I stay on, and sometimes a few people say hello. But I'm not taking attendance, and it's not required. And I know, actually, Rati Krishna sends me a list of the people who are registered, and I'm getting feedback. So I pretty well know my audience. But at the end, depending how I feel, I may stay an extra 5 minutes and chant. If anybody wants to introduce themselves, especially if there's someone new or someone needs to talk to me, I also touch base with Amritananda to see how the technicalities of the thing went. So I'm going to start with a question that someone asked about the last time, and I talked about the process of smarnam, especially in the advanced practices of Krishna consciousness, Raghunuga Bhakti. Smarn is very, very much prominent, although the chanting of the holy name continues throughout all processes, and all processes, practices of devotional service must be accompanied with the holy name. But I mentioned it is an advanced process, smarnam. Someone asked me something about that. So I just, this is from the Bhakti Sandarbha itself. It says, if one's heart has become pure by surrender, service to the wise, surrender is sharanagati, service to the wise is sadhu sangha, and hearing and singing the names, forms, attributes, and pastimes of the Lord, one can perform smarnam or remembrance. So these actually, before the process of smarnam was listed, because in Bhakti Sandarbha, it lists systematically all the practices of devotional service, which begins with sharanagata, and then the next process is sadhu sangha, then shravanam and kirtanam. But not just shravanam and kirtanam, but shravanam and kirtanam itself goes in a kama. It goes in a step-by-step process. First there's shravana and kirtanam of nam. And when shravana and kirtanam of nam become solidified, then naturally within the nam, the form or the forms of Krishna begin to manifest. And as one's the nam or the name is manifesting the forms, then naturally, as you're chanting, the qualities come. If you could think of your favorite sadhu, your favorite sadhu in ISKCON, and if you say his name, won't you think of his form? Won't you think of his quality? If I say Prabhupada, Jai Prabhupada, according to your relationship with him, the name of Prabhupada, you see his form. Do you see his cane? Do you see how he walks? And perhaps if your relationship is more intimate, then intimate means doesn't have to be in his physical presence, but by reading his book or serving his mission, then his attributes will come and his pastimes. So instead, if one's heart has become pure by surrender, service, sadhu sangha, and hearing and singing of the sadhana kram, the step-by-step of name, form, pastime, then one can perform smarana. Of course, we always try to perform smarana. The goal of Krishna consciousness is to remember Krishna and never forget him. But there are different levels of smarana. And to really, when you say smarana as a process, it means holding the object of your remembrance in the mind for a certain period of time. Because smarana begins at the stage of recollection. We remember Krishna. I can say Krishna, and I can say Baharpi Dham, Natavarabhapu, Karniyo, Karnikaryam, Baharpi Dham, Natavarabhapu, Baharpi Dham, he has a peacock feather. Baharpi Dham, Natavarabhapu, Karniyo, he has a beautiful yellow, almost like tulip, hanging from his, I don't know tulip, but a yellow Karnika flower. And so you can remember that, but how long can you hold it? And when there's the process of remembrance, when it means that you're going to practice remembrance, it means sitting down for 2-3 hours. There has to be purity of the heart. And if there's not purity of the heart, then what will happen? The heart, if it's just the mind and not the body, then within the mind you'll be affected by ignorance, which is loya or sleep. Vikshepa, which is distraction of passion. Kshaya, or previous samskars. Rasavad, the material taste. So the point that was made, and this is from Patanjali Sutras in terms of practicing, that if the mind does not become, it is not a qualification of purification of the heart, and some purification of passion, ignorance, previous samskars, and your material tastes, then your mind will gravitate towards them, and that will bring you out onto the bodily platform. In other words, it's natural, unless one is advanced, for the mind to follow the body. So therefore, in Bhagavatamrita, it mentions that kirtan is superior to smart, because until one is very, very advanced, it's more efficacious to remember Krishna if you have the senses and the body engaged in Krishna consciousness. So that was the point I made. I guess I only have a short time left. There was other realizations I did want to share, but I think maybe I'll get onto the pastime and then, if I have time, I'll share them, because I'm writing them down. I'm so tempted now to share something. Actually, the last section of Bhakti Sandarbha is on Raganuga Bhakti. Bhakti performed with liking or attachment in the heart. And it is a very interesting section, even relevant to anybody who hears it. But anyway, the example, I'm going to go on to this lila of Dainakasura, because I don't leave enough time. So this is so wonderful that we're hearing Krishna's pastimes from Vrindavan, the place where they're happening, and hopefully by me speaking them here, I'm in a good situation to extract the mood of the pastime, because they happen right here. Vamanreti is the place where Krishna tended his cows. In fact, if you just go down the road, I did that last year. I went to a place I never saw, which is where the pastime of Brahmavimohan Leela happened, and right there is, near there, is and not far from here, was the Agasura demon, and of course a 10-minute walk is Kaliagat, etc. So the right white sands of Vamanreti. In fact, when I came to see Prabhupada, when Prabhupada had come to Vrindavan to leave his body, and we went into his room, I remember it was so poignant, and Prabhupada was sitting there, and he told us that he was going to leave, but he said, if one has to leave, they said, let him be in Vrindavan. And then I remember him saying, everything is here. And he mentioned three things, the Jamuna, the peacocks, and the white sands of Ramanrethi. So hopefully there's still some white sand here left. So it's very nice to hear the perfection of life. This is the goal. The goal of life, called Priyojana Tattva, is to be free from ignorance. Not to be free from it, but the result of being free from ignorance is if you experience reality. And because we have a relationship with reality, and reality is a person whom we have relationship with, the experience of reality is Krishna, and our love for Krishna, and not only our love for Krishna, but our perfected love for Krishna, which is enthused by Krishna's own sambit ladini shakti, his own cognitive and treasure potency. Are we hearing okay?
Yeah, good.
Okay, people can hear nicely. Okay. So when you hear these pastimes, we're actually hearing about perfection. And I'm spontaneously saying this, I may have repeated it again, but it's such a relevant point that we're actually hearing about perfection. And when you hear about perfection and you have a relationship with perfection and you have the right guidance and understanding and the proper service attitude, then you appreciate perfection. And Prabhupada said, a very beautiful point, simple, we advance by appreciation. Because that which you appreciate comes into your heart. So if you appreciate Krishna's pastimes, which is nothing but this prema or love, this love will come in your heart. And this is actually a process. With the heart, which is like a crystal, and when we hear these pastimes, the mood, they reflect in our heart and they increase our inspiration for perfection. When we start developing attraction for Krishna, we are developing our real identity, because our real identity is servants of Krishna. And when we start developing that attraction to Krishna, we are becoming liberated from the false identity, the false ego, which is the ahankara. I am the doer, I am the controller. If the servant, the attraction, the love means when you're attracted to someone and that devotion comes, it means I want to serve. And if that mood comes out of your heart, I want to serve, then the mood of your heart is congruent with who you are. And that congruence creates a harmony in your heart, a satisfaction. It actually fills your heart. And I was quoting, this came from one of the classes in the Govardhan Retreat, that Yajnavalkya, a great sage, said that there are two aspirations of everyone. And those aspirations are to love and to be loved. And that, as Prabhupada said, that loving propensity, everyone is searching for that, where they can repose the loving propensity. And the perfect resting place for the loving propensity is reality. Because if you love reality, then the loving propensity, the object of your loving propensity doesn't end. If your loving propensity is reposed in something that is separate from God and thus temporary, then the loving propensity is mixed with duality, because that which you love will also have an end. So this is actually our real life, and we have to make it our real life. Of course, I'm not preaching renunciation. I'm preaching dedication. And by that dedication to Krishna and that attraction that grows for Krishna in the heart, then we'll be able to humbly recognize where we're at
and make a practical plan under the guidance of the sadhus and the guru and the Vaishnavas how to proceed towards that ultimate goal. So here, I'm going to, again, because I only speak once a week, I feel I have to bring this up to date. If I repeat the story again, I hope I'll go look further than we stopped last time. So it's very wonderful. Sukadeva Goswami, he's explaining that Krishna attains the age of Poganda. And this is so significant. He's becoming five or six, and he gets the cows. And it's so nice that he gets the cows. Because previously with the calves, he also loves the calves. We see the pictures of the calves, how they're so fortunate. You see that beautiful picture of Krishna sitting on the rock with his flute. The cows and the calves, they're out of affection. They're licking Krishna's body. But the calves, they can't go far away from the cows. So if you take care of calves, you can't go far away from home, and therefore the younger children get the calves. So this is so significant, this Poganda age, where Krishna gets to go to Vrindavan forest and lead the surroundings of immediate Braja, and we get to see Vrindavan forest, which is the full manifestation of love for Krishna. And we also get to see the feelings of the residents of Vrindavan when Krishna goes. Your attachment is tested by your feelings of love in the absence of the object of your love. And that's called separation, and therefore our love for Krishna now will be tested by how much we miss Krishna. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu therefore showed us this mood of bhajan. What's the mood when you love Krishna, but you're not with Krishna? So he goes to the forest. Now, I think I repeated this before, but the separation is beautiful. Vrindavan dries up, and where Krishna's home is, it dries up when Krishna goes to Vrindavan. And then when Krishna comes back from Vrindavan, the forest dries up. Always the banks of separation and union. Like a river, it flows, it has these two strong banks, the flow of praying with the bank of separation, the bank of union. So Krishna takes up the task of tending the cows, and it describes, therefore, the land of Vrindavan becomes most auspicious. Why does it become most auspicious? The word used is ativa. Ativa means extremely punyam, Vrindavanam punyam, ativa. Chakratu, they made Vrindavan extremely auspicious with what? To die with their feet. Why? Because when Krishna has a young body, his weight is not sufficient to imprint his footprints in the sands of Vrindavan. But when he grows older, Vrindavan becomes even more auspicious because the weight of his feet puts the 21 marks of Krishna's auspicious lotus feet in Vrindavan with the bow, with the lotus, with the fish mark. When the devotee meditates on Krishna's lotus feet and he sees the fish mark, he meditates that just as a fish cannot live without water, similarly, a devotee cannot live a moment without directly associating with Krishna. Or when he sees the flag, this mark announces for the devotees meditating on Krishna's feet that these feet are the security and safe protection from all types of fears. This is actually how the devotee feels. Because when we say padasevanam, there's an item of devotional service that means padasevanam, serving the lotus feet. What does it mean? Pada just means humbly. When you serve the food, it's when you serve the feet, it means with humility. It just means humble service. So when we're in the humble mood and we're approaching the lotus feet of the Vaishnavas, of Krishna, that mood of humility again, which enables us to experience love, gives us all security and protection. Because that's an eternal shelter. In other words, the need we have is eternally met. And when we experience that need is eternally met, then we have full faith that our need is eternally met. And then there's a cow hoof on Krishna's lotus feet, which signifies that if you take shelter of the feet of Krishna with uninterrupted meditation, then this great ocean of worldly material existence becomes small and insignificant like the water in a calf's hoof print, and thus is easily crossed. And then there's a vrajra. Vrajra means thunderbolt. And when the devotee of Vrindavan and he sees, or when the sadhaka sees, he meditates on Krishna's lotus feet, he knows that this mood of humility in approaching that absolute attractive reality, which is the eternal and real and dear object of our love, these lotus feet, like a thunderbolt, will smash to pieces the mountain of our karmic reactions to past sins. So here Krishna is taking out the cows. And then it describes Krishna, he's desiring now, because now he gets to go out to the forest of Vrindavan, and he's at a little bit older or mature age, which increases the variety of relationships that he can have. So he's naturally, because this is the nature of absolute reality, that the absolute reality, like anybody else, anybody who has power, shakti, energy, what do you do with it? You use the shakti or energy to make you happy. And that absolute reality has parasya shaktir vividhai or suyate. It has unlimited variety of shakti to make him happy. And the essence of the shakti is therefore the pleasure potency, because shakti is for happiness or pleasure. And the ultimate happiness is love. And therefore, the Ladini Shakti is the essence of all Shakti. So desiring to enjoy this love, Krishna sounds his flute. And enjoying this love, he's surrounded by the cowherd boys, and I mentioned before, well, time's going fast. I want to get to the new verses. He's surrounded by his cowherd boys who are chanting his glories. Just see Vrindavan. Krishna is happy because he is going to enjoy his own shaktis, and specifically the pleasure potency, specifically the Ladini Shakti, which is placed in the heart of his devotees. And he's going to the Vrindavan forest, which moves to facilitate the pastimes that enable this love to reach its apex of rasa, of transcendental happiness and pleasure and full love. And then he has the cowherd, but it's all love, because the cowherd boys, they're with Krishna and they're going out with their friend. So their love is expressed how? They're expressing or enhancing their love with singing. There's love in the heart and there's actions of love. And the actions of love increase the mood of love. And the actions of love themselves are a type of mood of love. If someone pays obeisances, it's a mood of respect or love for someone who's superior. But it's not just a physical action. There's a whole mood that accompanies that action. I gave the example, I believe it was in the last class, Satchinandana Swami gave this, the relationship between the body and your mood. When they did this psychological experiment, where they had two types of people, and they had one group of people hold their head down and put their hands together, and they had one group of people hold their chest out and their head high. And then they rotated the groups and did a scientific experiment, and they found out that the people who had the action of pride or people when they had the actions of pride, psychologically the test was there that they had much more pride. And when people had the actions of humility, they had a much more humble and loving conception of themselves. So this actions, this is part of the bhav, the mood. They're called anubhavs, and he's accompanied by Balaram, and he keeps the cows before him. And Krishna's walking behind the cows. And he loves that Vrindavan forest so much that as the cows are trampling the forest, Krishna's pacifying the land of Vrindavan with his lotus feet. And he enters, and he's blowing this flute. And it's mentioned that he blows the flute. There's two reasons that Krishna blows the flute. He's giving pleasure to his devotees by expressing the love in his heart. The nature of these type of musical instruments is they enhance and give one an ability to draw out their inner emotions and announce them. That's why it's one of the qualities of Krishna. Krishna means God when he's himself and he wants to express Akhila Rasa Mrita Murti, all his inner emotions. So there are symptoms when the Supreme Absolute Reality in the association of his intimate devotees, the Brajvasis, and in the environment of Vrindavan, which creates the facility for the intimacy of Krishna and his close devotees. There are symptoms. And the symptoms are the sweetness comes out. And the sweetness comes out in prema madhurya, more love. When Krishna can be himself at home, more love comes out. When you're home, more love comes out than the office. And lila madhurya, more varieties of pastimes manifest when you're feeling yourself in the right environment with the right people. Vrindavan means the right environment with the right people eternally for the absolute reality, Sri Krishna. And then there's rupa madhurya. When you give yourself intimately in love, then you are revealing your beauty. Your beauty is not for Krishna. His beauty is not just a physical thing. His beauty is a manifestation of his heart. It's just like when someone really smiles out of happiness, they are more beautiful. When they are very depressed and anxiety or someone in fear, the same person. So the person of God, when he is most happy, when he is most revelatory in terms of his inner self, becomes more beautiful. And Venu Madhurya, the flute. When he can be himself, he can take musical instrument to express his feelings. And that flute is so special that Krishna, the absolute reality, he can take those feelings of love and direct them personally towards different devotees and to different cows when he calls the cows. So Krishna, when he's blowing the flute, he's announcing his joy and his love to give love for the devotees. And he's not only giving love to the devotees, but he's recognizing the forest of Vrindavan, which is that environment which moves intentionally with love to please the senses of Krishna. And then the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, he looked over that forest, which resounded with charming sounds of bees, animals, and birds, and which was enhanced by a lake whose clear water resembled the minds of great souls, and by a breeze carrying the fragrance of 100-petaled lotuses. Seeing all this, then what happens? Bhagavan Mana Vidhay, the Supreme Lord, turned to pleasure. It's not that he's dependent on the forest of Vrindavan to enjoy, but in his desire to enjoy, this is part of the manifestation of his enjoyment, which is the environment that facilitates these loving exchanges. So he turns his mind to Vrindavan. And when he saw the Vrindavan forest, it was giving pleasure to all his senses. Now, the word here is, it says, dristam, serve. It implies the greatness of Vrindavan forest. That even, it says, vayu, that even the wind is serving Krishna. What is the glory of an environment? The glory of an environment is the facility it gives you to enjoy different relationships. The glory of Vrindavan is that it serves Krishna's desire to enjoy different relationships. So it says, jistam. It's so great, it serves. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, and this is his purport, and I have it, I will read it, Krishna desired to play upon seeing the beauty of the forest, which gave joy to the five senses. How did the forest satisfy the senses? Look at your environment. If the environment you're in right now is a product of giving you and your family pleasure. By how? By stimulating your senses with perhaps pleasing colors. Perhaps there's a stereo or sound. And maybe there's some incense burning, some fragrance. Maybe there's a bowl of fruits for taste. What Vrindavan means, if you imagine if you were living in an environment that was moving, or let's say someone loved you, and every day when you came into, can everybody hear me?
Yes, just fine.
Okay, thank you. Let's say you're in a room, and that room is made by someone who loves you so much. What would they do? Even if you're a spiritual person, they would try to make it colorful, fragrant, tasty, soft, maybe a carpet, or the night, probably put a stereo sound. And if you're in that room, and it's done by a person who has so much love for you, you will appreciate it so much, because all the experiences that you have are a manifestation of love, and love is the highest pleasure. So that's a reflection of the original environment, this Vrindavan forest. That's why we like to come to Vrindavan, because it's Krishna's internal potency. Again, potency or energy moves for pleasure. This is the internal potency of Krishna that moves for pleasure. So when you're in Vrindavan and you have a sense and you're practicing Krishna consciousness, you can sense the love of the land of Vrindavan for Krishna and for the devotees. So this is the Vrindavan forest. The humming of bees and the melodious singing of deer and birds brought sweet pleasure to the ears. Vrindavan was served, drishtam, by gentle lotus-scented breezes carrying the cool moisture of transparent lakes filled to the brim with cool, sweet-tasting water like the minds of great devotees. The cool winds thrilled the sense of touch. People can still hear?
Yes.
The sweet water stimulated the sense of taste. The beauty and fragrance of lotus flowers brought spiritual bliss to the eyes and nose. So this is the forest of Vrindavan. The primeval lord saw that the stately trees with their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers were bending down to touch his feet with the tips of their branches. Thus he smiled gently and addressed his elder brother. So what is Vrindavan? Vrindavan means, it's so nice, everything in Vrindavan is going to go from moving to stationary living entities. They saw the stately trees and their beautiful reddish buds and their heavy burden of fruits and flowers bending down to touch his lotus feet with the tips of their branches. What does that mean? It means these red buds, but they see Krishna's beautiful feet and they bow down to Krishna's lotus feet. And he smiles gently and addresses his elder brother, because this is such a nice point. So everything is stately. Stately means proud. But before Krishna, so much fruits. It means when you love Krishna, Krishna gives you the facility to serve him. So pure devotee is filled with opulence, which he can repose at the lotus feet of Krishna. And he gets that opulence because that opulence will make him bow down to Krishna, because he realizes that that opulence is for the pleasure of Krishna. So he offers it. And Krishna, a very interesting point, he wants to reciprocate. This is such an interesting point, because the beautiful red flowers and the tree is offering everything. It wants to reciprocate. And thus, Krishna smiles gently and he addresses his elder brother, because he wants to reciprocate the unique offering, but to do so would imply his own super excellence. So even the Supreme Lord, to reciprocate love, has to be humble. Because to be the supreme enjoyer, you the supreme enjoyer of what? If you're the supreme enjoyer, you enjoy love. You're not going to be the same. If you have the power to be the supreme enjoyer, you just build a big mansion and have everyone or your supreme enjoyment. If you could have supreme enjoyment, wouldn't you want wonderful, loving relationships? And if those relationships weren't there, could you actually enjoy? So the supreme enjoyer means he's enjoying love, and enjoying love means you can enjoy love only from those who love you. So the supreme, only from those whom you love. If you don't love someone, you don't enjoy their love. So the Supreme Lord, he also loves. He loves his devotees. It's mentioned, therefore, he doesn't take a step outside of Vrindavan because of the love of his devotees. If someone loves you and you are a integrated, full person, then you will reciprocate that love. You will be forced to reciprocate that love. And reciprocating love means to serve. So Krishna himself is humble. And therefore, although he's being glorified, he turns to his brother. He turns to his brother and says, Aho ami devavara mararchitam padam bhujam te samana falahanam namantyapadhaya sikhadya atmanas tamo pahatyai taru janma yat kritam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, greatest of lords, he's talking to Balaram, just see how these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet, which are worshipable by the immortal demigods. The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. I will finish with this verse. So Krishna, he's pointing to his brother and seeing, look at these trees. They're bowing at your lotus feet, he's saying to Balaram, because he wants to reciprocate and recognize the offering of the trees. But he doesn't want to pronounce his own super excellence. So in a joking way, smiling, he addresses his brother. And he says, oh means surprise, spoken in joyous surprise. The Supreme Lord is surprised. If you are surprised, it means that you are unaware of what happened. Now, how can the Supreme Absolute Reality be unaware of what's happened? The Supreme Absolute Reality can be aware of what's happening if surprise is part of his repertoire, if that's the right word, of pleasure of enjoyment. Just like us, you know, they have these surprise parties for your birthday. Why do they give you a surprise? Because they know that when something is fresh and new and unexpected, it gives you more pleasure. So the Supreme Lord, he's the reservoir of all pleasure. And therefore, within his being is surprise. And how does he become surprised? Because he turns over the management of his pastimes to his Leela Shakti, his pastime potency, which reigns supreme. But it's his potency, but it reigns supreme. In his pastimes, he lets it reign supreme. It lets his pastime potency control the environment to give him the maximum amount of love. Oh, I'm surprised. You know, these trees are bowing their heads at your lotus feet. They're worshipful by the immortal demigods. Amara, the demigods, they're immortal. They're so great. The trees are bowing to Krishna. The demigods are bowing to the trees. Why? Because these trees have the highest consciousness of the service to Krishna. The highest manifestation of consciousness is the pure nature of the soul, which is called the service attitude. When pure love and service manifest through one's heart, that's the highest development of consciousness, not lust and pride. So these trees, with their opulences so stately, bowing at the lotus feet of Krishna, they are worshipable by Amara, the Amara Deva, the demigods, which are Ami Devara, the best of the Amara. They're archikam, they're worship. Because this is what makes one worshipable. What makes one worshipable is his consciousness of service. The mood that I am for others, the spiritual consciousness. Spiritual consciousness means selflessness. Material consciousness means selfishness. And then Krishna looks, the trees are offering you their fruits and flowers to eradicate the dark ignorance that has caused their birth as trees. So Krishna is seeing that these trees who are serving him in ecstatic sentiments of separation, they're considering themselves ignorant and trying to purify themselves by bowing down at the lotus feet of Krishna and Balaram. So we're seeing in Vrindavan the nature of the devotee. He has so many opulences. He offers it at the lotus feet of Krishna. But in his heart, he feels very humble. And they're thinking, and they're looking, just like if you have a glass of water that's very, very clear, one spot of dirt becomes prominent. If you have a glass of water that's muddy, then nothing that enters can come. So the heart that is cleansed and clear, it can notice and see its faults. And someone who's full of faults, he can't see anything he does wrong. That's why Raghunath Das Goswami, when he was going around Braj Vrindavan, and he was taking just a few drops of buttermilk, he was so clean in heart that he saw and detected some personal lust in him. Oh, not really. But he said, I'm just a devotee. Sanatan Goswami, he knew so many languages. He was the chief minister of West Bengal. And when someone called him a learned man, he said, you call me a learned man, but I don't know who I am, where I'm going. So Krishna, understanding the mentality, seeing the offering, and the offering not in pride, but in humility, glances at them with affection, and then says to Balaram, The trees are offering you their fruits and flowers. See how humble. To eradicate the darkness of ignorance that caused their birth of trees. They're thinking like this, that we are not moving. We are so unfortunate that we cannot move to see Krishna. And by Krishna's mercy, he is past us. And now that we have that moment opportunity, we will give everything at his lotus feet. And it's all his mercy. It's not my qualification. So this is trying to show you the Braja mood that exists in perfection, the mood that we have to emulate. So I only probably got one more verse, but we'll continue. Little difficult not knowing the, seeing the audience, but hope we got something today. What I'm going to do is a little bit unusual. I'm going to speak to Amritananda, and then I'm just going to chant, and then I'll end the thing, and if someone has something to say, I may reciprocate, etc. But thank you all so much for coming. Vanshikalpa Turubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Ayeva Cha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnadebhyo Namo Namah. Thank you.